thank you, Chris, for the worship. It was really cool. And it was really amazing how that thing about trust came through it. So thank you. That's really what I want to speak to you about tonight. I will be quick because I know that you're all desperate to get back to watch X Factor. It's on tonight, isn't it? Yeah, it's on. It's all right, Tobes. I'll be finished by then. Did anyone see it last Sunday night? No? Handed. If you didn't, you missed a guy from Tunbridge Wells who works in Barclays Bank. It was very exciting. I went into Barclays Bank. Yeah, he was terrible, yeah. He had blue hair. It's worth watching back. His name's Ezra, I think, wasn't it, Indy? And I went into Barclays to try and get a selfie with him this week so that I could show the kids, but he wasn't there. So it's really gutting. Anyway, that's absolutely nothing to do with my talk. I really want to talk about trust. But before I start talking about that, what do you think most British people talk about the most? Yes, Toby, thank you for putting your hand up, other than people calling out over there. Mrs. Wilson, Toby. Oh, it's not tea and crumpets. Would anyone over here like to say? Yes, Mrs. Wilson. The weather was right, yes. Absolutely. You were close. It kind of goes with it, doesn't it? Tea and crumpets with weather, because it makes you feel like that. So apparently, statistics say that 94% of British people have spoken or about to speak or are currently speaking about the weather in within a six-hour framework. So within the last 6 hours, someone's mentioned it to someone else. And I know already tonight we've said about it. I heard Katie say it, I think. Yeah, it's cold. It's freezing. First time that I've had to put a jumper on, bought with my teacher vouchers. I'm very excited. But since, I think, ever, for ages, it feels like we've had summer for a lovely long time, doesn't it? So I wonder how you feel about the rain, how you felt about that today, and how you feel about storms in particular. Hands up if you like storms. Oh, interesting. Hands up if you don't like them. Okay, I'm in that camp, Tom, with you. I really, really don't like them. And when we went to Spain this year, we were very blessed to be able to go to Spain. And Ham was there 2 weeks before us, and then we came for the second 2 weeks. And we had like a day and a half overlap, I think, didn't we, in the place where we stayed. And they had said, like, on the WhatsApp and everything, that it was the hottest year they'd ever had. So it was like 40 degrees, wasn't it? Ali was particularly uncomfortable. And then when we arrived, Nick is upset about us because he thinks that I'm going to make it sound like we didn't have a nice holiday. And that's not the case. We had a brilliant holiday. But when we arrived, it was very, very hot, very humid. And then when we got to Altea, where Ham was, the day they left, we had really bad weather for about 3 days. I think we've got a picture of looking out of our balcony. And so you can see like really, really big storm clouds that had gathered. And it almost looked like a typhoon? Or no, the tornado, yeah. It looked like that. And it was really, really dark. I mean, my heart sinks when I see things like this because I am a real sunny girl. And we travelled all that way to see clouds. But then we drove to the supermarket, and we came out of the supermarket one day and it was literally torrential rain. It was literally everywhere, and I think we've got a little video of the rain.
Driving down, this is the flood.
Woo!
This is the road towards our...
Nick sounds really excited about it because he liked driving through it. I really didn't like it. So I really don't like wind and waves and storms. And I think when I think about it, the reason I don't like a storm is because it makes me feel scared because I feel out of control and I feel like I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't like it. And I think that's how the disciples felt in the story that Joey read to us tonight. They'd gone out onto the lake, hadn't they, when it was all calm. It says that word calm in the verse, that it was calm and peaceful and everything was fine. I mean, after all, these are experienced sailors. A lot of them were used to going out on this lake and it was all seeming fine. Jesus, it says, was exhausted. And if you read the verses before, it's because he's been out healing and doing amazing things. He'd healed, it says, many people. So he'd healed someone who was demon-possessed. He'd healed Peter's mother-in-law who was sick. He'd healed lots of other people. And the disciples had seen really amazing miracles before their eyes. And yet when Jesus went into the boat, he was really, really tired, so he fell asleep. And when the wind and the waves started up, they were genuinely afraid, even though they were sailors. So part of me, the cynical part of me, thought, oh, I wonder if that really was that bad in, you know, the waves and the wind in Galilee. I had a little look up to see if that's actually possible, that a storm could actually come up that quickly from when it's calm 1 minute to getting up violent waves the next. And I looked up good old Google and found that that is possible. Is anyone a geographer here? Oh, good. Oh, Joey is. Oh, yeah, you are. But you're going to support your mum, so that's all right. It says that because Lake Galilee is actually quite small, it's, oh, Dad's a geographer, aren't you? I forgot that. It's 13 miles long and 7 miles wide, but it's very, very deep. And it's surrounded by mountains, is that right? High hills. And so it says such storms result from differences in temperature between the seacoast, which has semi-tropical warm, moist air, and the hills, which reach up to 2,000 feet. And therefore, they have cool, dry air. Is anyone still awake? When these two air masses meet and mix, it can cause violent storms quickly and without warning. And it says that they can cause up to 20-foot waves. So that was bad of me to doubt what the Bible said was true. But it's sometimes really exciting, isn't it, to see when you look it up to say that it really is true. That without warning, a storm like this could have happened. So it could have been that they went on there when it was calm and it did go crazy. So it is really accurate in the Bible. I shouldn't have doubted it for a second. So we know that in the story as it goes on that Jesus wakes up and he gets quite cross with the disciples. He's a bit frustrated with them and he says, why are you so afraid? You have so little faith. And he rebukes the wind and the waves. And it says in verse 26 that suddenly all was calm. St. Jerome puts it another way. He says, you command, and immediately the waters are solid. That's a nice picture, isn't it? Being very still. I wonder if we were to look at our own lives for a moment and consider the storms that we might have gone through in the past or that we might currently be going through. And I wonder how we would answer Jesus if he asked us that question. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? I think it comes down to trust. And I just would ask you the question tonight. Can you trust Jesus with everything in your life? I liked that song that we sung, that the words of it said, I will put my trust in you alone and I will not be shaken. Even though the disciples had seen Jesus do amazing miracles, literally just hours before, they were still terrified and worried, and for a moment they forgot to trust the Saviour that they knew. That's quite reassuring, isn't it, for us to know that they had doubts, that they were human. I haven't seen anyone like healed physically. I'd love to see that in front of my eyes, like they had. But I have experienced God's amazing miracles, in particularly in our family with finances. And yet I still could say that I would doubt, and I very often forget to trust God with everything in my life. I would so love to live out that verse, which is literally two chapters before in Matthew 6, which says, do not worry about everyday life. That verse that we all know so well. And yet, how often do we forget that when times get troubled and tough? John Ortberg wrote a book about stepping out on water and taking a risk. But he also mentions this story in his book. And he says about this story of Jesus calming a storm that we have a choice to make. We have to choose whether we're going to trust the Saviour or the storm. Whether we're going to trust the Saviour or the storm. It's funny, isn't it? When you write a talk, you often have a moment where it becomes a bit too real. Because I had that last week. I thought about this talk a couple of weeks ago. And then last week on Thursday, there was something that happened at work. And basically, they've cut a lot of people's hours. And I suddenly realised that we definitely won't have as much money as we have had in the past. And so I felt really worried about it. Really worried. And then I was trying to look at this talk and I thought, my goodness, I must actually do what I'm talking about. And so on Thursday, I woke up and I just remember waking up and saying, God, I'm really worried about our financial situation even more now. And you've got to do something. And I don't know what to do, but you've got to do something. And it was so amazing. By the end of the day, I'd had a phone call from somewhere else where I can go and get some more work, which I'm starting this week, which is really good. So it is amazing how God does step in, isn't it? But how easy it is for us to have that lack of trust. That's my prayer for myself and us this week. Thanks, Cindy. It's very scary. So, thank you, and now I've completely lost where I was. So I just wanted to say that doesn't underestimate the storms that some people are facing and what they have faced, because I know that some people have been through some really difficult things. But I would just challenge you this week, as I challenge myself, whether we are going to put our trust in the Saviour or the storm, because we know which one we should do. And I think there isn't any judgment in that, because God isn't like wagging his finger at us and saying, oh, you're not trusting in me enough. I think it's just that God knows what's best for us, isn't it? That God knows that if we trust him with everything, that he's got the best thing sorted for us, and there's no lack with him, and that we don't need to be afraid. And so I'm going to get Lige to read something to us in a minute, which I'd really like you just to open your heart to come in, for God to really speak those words to you. It's something that was written by Mother Teresa. And it's just talking about how much God loves us and how he wants us to trust him, because he loves us so, so much. Not because he wants us to be like suffering in a storm. He wants us to trust him. So Elijah's going to read that. But before I do, I just wanted to show you a little video clip. And this is something that Jill Fuller put on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, so you might have seen it already. But it was just such a beautiful image. It's of a 53-year-old Down syndrome man who'd been away for the first time from his father, who was 81. And he is coming to meet him at the airport. And he just comes down the escalators and he sees his dad. And he's just overwhelmed with love for him. And I just thought, it's really a lovely picture for us to see before Lige reads those words, because this is a human father and son who are reunited. And how much more does God love us than this? So just have this picture in your mind, if it was you and God, and how pleased God would be to see you.
I think he had a good time with me.
You need a shave.
I don't think we missed him at all. I don't think so.
You need a shave.
Quite a lot of time. It's just so lovely, isn't it? He's so happy to see him. So just keep that image in your mind. Lige, can you come up and read for me? I just wanted to use this as a time of reflection, just as a time to maybe think about the times when we haven't trusted God, and just ask him to help us to trust him going forward, because he loves us so much and he wants us to not be in the storm but to trust him as our saviour.